the preachers. How many of you have ever heard Baptist preachers try and sound like Billy Graham? That's what I'm talking about. Leadership. Love Billy, but, you know, oh, I know. You know, that South Carolinian accent that Billy has that I can't do. But, you know, I've heard Baptist preachers. They couldn't preach. I'd just like to get those guys off in the corner sometime and find out what they really sound like. I've heard people imitate Ken Hagin. Leadership. There's got to be a big dog at the top. Now, these big dogs have ways of teaching us. The leader. Okay? Let me show. Now, and what happens is the leader takes the place of the Holy Spirit. When he gets where he's between you and God. Now, we had a discipleship shepherdship movement down in Florida. That's the problem there. They've got the pastor, the local elder, between the person and God. He's taken the place of the Holy Spirit. Now, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 real quickly, and I'll show you what some of these leaders will start doing. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Here's typical things. Now, look up at verse 1. It says, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, let's see what these doctrines of demons are. Look at verse 3. They'll tell you who you can marry and who you can't marry. Yeah, and the discipleship thing. Man, you can't marry unless your elder, your shepherd, tells you you can marry. Someone in here says, well, Brother Floyd, I want to get married, but I don't know if I should get married or not. If you don't know, then don't. God will let you know. God will speak to you. You can know. It says they'll forbid to marry. Tell you what you can eat. There was a group called the Manifest Sons of God. And man, you couldn't even go out to dinner with people unless you phoned your prophet and found out, you know, if it was okay for you to go. Man, that's not spiritual leadership. That's bondage and legalism. Okay? And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, here's some more stuff that these great leaders will be putting on us. Verse 5, they'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. Verse 7, they'll be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Let me tell you something about cults. All cults, you're ever learning. They study, study, study. You know, I had someone tell me, said, what we really need to do as Christians is go out and witness like Jehovah's Witnesses. No, you don't. No, that's not true. I said, but boy, those guys really know the Scriptures. Man, if only Christians knew Scriptures like Jehovah's Witnesses, let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you who knows the Scriptures better than anyone I know of. Satan. Listen to me, beloved. Satan believes in the atonement. Satan believes in personal sin. Satan believes in hell. Satan believes Jesus is God come in the flesh. Satan believes in the resurrection. And he knows the best way to screw the whole thing up so that we won't. Many men will give you out Scriptures. That's not good enough. Satan has always spewed out Scriptures. And he always misquoted them. Always added, subtracted, finagled. The big leader. Now the second point, and it's closely tied to it, is, now watch this, trans-local authority. You say, my goodness, what does that mean? It simply means this. Beloved, I've read what these guys have to say about the discipleship movement, for example, and many others. And the more they talk, the more egg they get on their face. If you study the New Testament, you'll find one thing only. A New Testament church consisted of elders, plural, and one of them was the presiding elder or the pastor, the shepherd, deacons who were nothing but servants, that means they swept up the room, straightened the chairs, took the food and clothes to the poor and things like that, and the body, the regular lay people. That was it. There was no government. If you had a little church meeting in your home, a Bible study in your home, and you had one in your home, and you had one in yours, and you, and you, and you, and you. And all of y'all had, you know, you had 20, 30, 50 people there. And each one of you had an elder, someone teaching, that was called of God. And you guys phoned me up and said, Brother Floyd, oh, great leader with blue eyes. We have voted and want you to kind of oversee us and make sure, you know, things go. You just quit being a New Testament church. You can't have any across local, that trans means across. New Testament churches were single little groups that answered only to that little group and God. That's the only thing. And the minute you start getting, you're beginning to, I think you're all beginning to get a little sick because you're beginning to realize that you all belong to something that's not. It's teaching of cult. Listen, and with this, I'll mention this term here, structure. Structural control, because these two are related, S-T-R-U-C. Structural control. In other words, all cults are built on a pyramid with Big Daddy, the great leader, at the top. And you can't question his word. You can try, but you can't. Listen, if you try, they'll have a secret little meeting somewhere, and you will find you've been kicked out of the kingdom. You'll be excommunicated. Whatever your little church calls it, that's what happened. And the thing is pyramided. And there's different layers and levels of spirituality all the way down to you little nothings down here at the bottom. Now, the Bible in Revelations calls this the doctrine. It started off, it wasn't a doctrine. When it was first mentioned, it was a practice. But it became a doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, listen to me. There was never a group called the Nicolaitans. It's just a teaching. Nikeo, the Greek Nikeo, means I conquer or to conquer. I conquer. Lations, the laity. It's when the clergy started becoming big dogs over the little people. In other words, beloved, in other words, it happened when we started calling ourselves Reverend. Right Reverend. How do you like that one? Right Reverend. The very right Reverend. The right Reverend. Now, beloved, hear me. There is nothing reverend about Floyd Jones. The word reverend means there's only one person that ever walked this planet that was reverend, and that's Jesus. Don't y'all call me Rev. Okay? I am not reverend. The Nicolaitan teaching, the clergy began to set themselves up over the people and dominated the people, ruled the people, set kings up. And in this kind of structure, the whole object was to bring in the kingdom. All cults, that's part of their jargon, bringing in the kingdom, loyalty to the cause. We're going to bring in the kingdom. Now, I'm going to hurt some hearts. I don't mean to. Listen, everybody's in this. Please don't get hurt. For nearly 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has said that they're going to bring in the kingdom. And that this is the kingdom. And they set up kings and all this jazz. All the cult groups manifest sons of God. But they all say that we're going to bring in the kingdom. Incidentally, I was offered the position as official teacher to the Prime Minister of the kingdom. Yeah, I ran into one of these little groups, you know, these little cult groups. And they've already selected who the Prime Minister of the kingdom is going to be. And they went and asked him if he'd like to accept it. Incidentally, he doesn't live but about 30 miles from here, south of here. And they realized as they talked to him that he wasn't too hot on Scripture, so they phoned me up and asked me if I would consider the position of official teacher of the Prime Minister of the kingdom. Now, y'all, that's a pretty healthy title now. But I did turn it down. Hallelujah. Now, beloved, listen. No human being is needed to bring in the kingdom. Jesus defeated Satan. Jesus rose from the dead. Nobody helped get him out of the grave. Jesus came up because of who he was, God in the flesh. Jesus defeated Satan, and Jesus is going to do everything that's necessary to bring the kingdom in. No human, God doesn't need your dinky help nor my dinky help. He doesn't need any human being to defeat and conquer and establish the kingdom. Now, I'd like for you to read this with me, because there are other teachings out that are in amillennialism, which is a great era, which says that there will not be a millennium. Now, would you begin with me? See, people are saying, this is the kingdom. You're living in the kingdom now. Oh, this is what it's like to have Satan bound, huh? Hey, gang, I read my Bible back there in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and I don't see any difference. I mean, what did they do back in those days? Killed, raped, pillaged, plundered, you know, adultery, incest, you name it. I picked up the newspaper this morning, guess what I found? The same stuff. Oh, so this is what it's like to have Satan bound. Well, thanks a lot. I mean, wait a minute. My Bible says that when the kingdom comes, the lamb and the lion and the leopard and the wolf and the bear and the snake and the child will all play together and eat straw and stuff like that. When was the last time you saw a lion and a lamb playing together? Unless you consider getting lion at, you know, play. Well, it might be play for the lion, but it sure wasn't so hot for the lamb. Now, please observe. Now, and these same people will say, oh, they'll spiritualize the scriptures. Now, let me tell you, once the leader comes in, he has to tell you what all the scriptures mean. You're too dumb. You're too stupid to know what scriptures mean. I mean, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will teach you. See? Now you say, well, wait a minute. Why are you here if the Holy Spirit's going to teach me? The Holy Spirit teaches you in your spirit. God uses Bible teachers to move what you know to be true in here up to your understanding by the power of the Spirit. Have you ever heard a Bible teacher say something and you knew all you never heard it before, and yet you felt like your whole life you knew that, but you knew you never heard it before? That's because of an eternal truth. And in your spirit you knew all along, and yet you never had understood. And suddenly you got the understanding. Okay? So the great leader's got to tell you what everything means. Now, they will tell you that the scriptures are spiritual. Yes, they are. But you see, before you start trying to get a spiritual meaning, you need to get just the meaning the way it's stated right there. Then the Holy Spirit can give you other meanings to it. There's only one interpretation. There can be a lot of applications. You read the scripture, it says God is love. That's about all you can say. But you can apply that and say, oh, that must mean God loves my dog, because he's love. That would be true. God does love dogs. God must love my child. That's right. He does love your child. But the gospel is not that God loves dogs. Okay? The gospel is God is love, and since he's love, he died for our sins and rose for our justification. Now, they will say, like in Romans 14:17, many of us have sung it, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Right? And they'll say, see, oh, there's not going to be a literal kingdom. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, those are the spiritual attributes of the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy. And you can enjoy that part of the kingdom now as you walk in the Spirit. But, beloved, my Bible says there's going to be a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. It's real. It's real. It's real. Don't try and explain it away. Live with it. It's good. Now, all that being said, verse 11 of Luke 19. All right, now Jesus is coming to Jerusalem with his disciples just a few days before he is crucified. And it says, as he heard these things, Jesus added and spake a parable, because he was near Jerusalem. He's come to Jerusalem to be crucified. And because they thought the kingdom of God was going to immediately appear. Okay, have you got it? They think that he's going to Jerusalem to bring the kingdom in. So Jesus, it says, is going to give them a story to correct that. Okay? He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Oh, I got it. Jesus had to go to heaven and receive the seven-sealed scroll in Revelation 5, the kingdom, and bring it with him. Because that seven-sealed scroll is God's will. And Jesus is going to come back and see that God's will is done on this planet for 1,000 years. And then we'll have a new heaven and a new earth. So no human is going to bring a kingdom. Jesus went to get the kingdom and to return with it. And he called 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and he said, occupy till I get back. Now, beloved, occupation forces don't win new territory. They just hold what somebody else already won. Jesus said, I already whipped the devil. I've already done everything. Now I'm going to get the seven-seal scroll, and I'll come back. You guys just, hey, this is pretty good. That means we've got real power of attorney. If Jesus told us that we could occupy till he came, that's not hanging on with whited knuckles. Now, let me tell you what this means. In everyday language, Jesus is saying this, gang, you fought on the wrong side. We had a war, and all of you fought, your leader, and I fought. Because at one time, every one of us were following Satan. And Jesus said, your leader, your old leader, and me, we had a war, and he lost. And so you fought on the wrong side. I offer you amnesty. Like in the Civil War. I offer you amnesty. Lay down your weapons and come on over to my side. I'll let you go. You were all rebels. You fought on the rebellion side. That's what all of us have been, rebels against God. And we serve Satan. And he says, I whipped your leader. So now, I offer you amnesty. Lay down your weapons and come on over here. And that's what's going on. Now, beloved, God could have defeated, he could have destroyed Satan years ago. But he's doing it according to legal jurisprudence. God can't be unjust even to Satan. God could have destroyed Satan years ago. But God's way of defeating Satan is doing two things. He is defeating him legally. See, God can't be unjust to anybody, not even Satan. God's method is legal. And he is delaying the return according to Scripture because he doesn't want any to perish to give us more time to get the word out. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, 2 Peter chapter 3, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him. Sound familiar? The people of the world, are they thrilled that Jesus is coming back with that kingdom? No, they hate him. And they say, we will not have this man to rule over us. And so, now I just wanted you to see that that part, you can read the rest of it, it's excellent. I just wanted you to see that Jesus is going to bring the kingdom. We don't need anyone else to bring the kingdom. Now, beloved, I don't care what your denomination is, it fits a pyramid. We got it out of cultism. It has nothing to do with Christianity at all. I don't care what you call the guy at the top. You can call him the Pope, or you can call him whatever the Baptist Church calls him, whatever the Presbyterian Church calls your head man, whatever the Episcopalians call him. You can call these guys down here cardinals, archbishops, bishops, and priests. It doesn't matter if you're a Pentecostal in here. You can call him the district superintendent, the zone superintendent. I don't care what you call him. You cannot have a worldwide cult system unless you've got a pyramid structure. There must be a pyramid with a leader at the top telling you what to believe. And that his word is unquestioned and is law. And this kind of garbage has crept into the church of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says about elders ruling over the people. But, beloved, it doesn't say that we rule like that. 1 Peter chapter 5, God says, elders, feed my flock. Ooh, thank you, Lord. It's your flock. Look, I'm feeding your flock, Lord. They're not mine. Isn't that restful? Man, I couldn't take it if I went home tonight thinking you were my flock. I couldn't handle the pressure. What if one of you gets drunk? What if one of you commits adultery? I couldn't handle it. You know, oh my God. Now, my Bible says there's one shepherd and he's the shepherd. He'll let me be a sheep herder, but not a shepherd. He's the shepherd. And he says, you feed my flock. Don't be an overlord. Don't do it for filthy lucre. That means money. Don't do it for constraint's sake. He says, but with love, look after my flock. All right? Now, that's what God says. So, all cults place, now watch this, it's going to hurt. I don't mean to hurt. They put the organization and or a person or persons between you and God. And that's absolute cultism. Now, I know. It's devastating, isn't it? Now, beloved, now forget about your own problem about this right now with your denominational situation for a moment. Now, how can you help someone that's in a cult? Okay, what if God opens the door? See, teaching you this isn't just to get you, you know, information. It's just to help. How many of you realize Jesus loves all these people tied up in cults? He died for their sins. He didn't just die for your sins. He died for their sins, too. He died for the sins of the whole world. Jesus wants that Jehovah's Witness saved. Jesus wants that Christian Scientist saved. Now, what has to be done is we must get the thing that's separating them and God out of the way. Hear me. You cannot help a Jehovah's Witness if you sit there and try and argue with him about the Trinity. The best thing to do is agree with him. You're right. The word Trinity isn't in the Bible, you know, and go on. Look, we read Romans. It doesn't say you got to believe in the Trinity to be saved. We read Romans 10. It doesn't say that. I do believe in the Trinity. The Bible teaches it. It doesn't use the word Trinity, but it's there. No, if you're going to see, he's got you in a trap if you sit there and argue with him about the Trinity. The first thing, one of the best things to do, per sons, is to show him that he's following a false prophet. Like this. Are you aware, if he's a Jehovah's Witness, that that your great leader said that in 1914 Jesus was going to come and establish the kingdom? And he didn't. Are you aware that he said that he was going to come in 1918? Are you aware that then they said he was going to come in 1975? And if they say so, the next thing to say is, how many times would I have to commit murder to be a murderer? Just once. Right, you tell him. How many times would I have to commit adultery to be an adulterer? Once. Then how many times do I have to make a false prophecy to be a false prophet? Are you getting it? And now you've got a chance. If you can show him that what he is depending on is a false prophet, you've got a chance of separating. Then, if he receives that, now you can offer him Jesus. Don't worry about the Trinity. We can worry about that on down. Give him Jesus. But there's always a leader. And there's always this, and the organization. Now, gang, some of you in this room have spent most of your life depending on your organization to get you through. You Roman Catholics, you've depended on the Catholic Church. Baptist, you're so proud of being a Baptist, you just almost make God want to vomit. Right? Church of Christ, you know, oh my word. You know, Pentecostals, I don't care, Presbyterian. You've been brainwashed that your group is right. Just because your church looks like everything I'm saying so far doesn't mean it's a cult. What I'm trying to show you is the devil has totally invaded, and Christians don't know what cults are built on. Now, I'm telling you this to protect you. What if suddenly the government of America turns against Christianity? And it will someday. It will. And let me say this. There's no such thing as socialism. Hey, if you want to check out socialism, go to the only countries in the world that have it, like Russia. Is all the money and power in the hands of the people? It's in the hands of just a couple. See, democracy, what we call democracy here in America really is just borders on anarchy. We get a president we don't like, shoot him. You know, it's simple. Don't like him, riot. Don't like him, throw pie in his face. That's the end. See, we've reduced, democracy has reduced itself almost in America now to anarchy. But socialism, see, hear me. And don't you give in to this jazz. Don't you let anyone put over on you that you're going to have a plurality of elders. You know, that you're going to join some kind of organization where there's 10 elders and they're going to all rule equally so you don't have that top man. That isn't true, gang. You don't know anything about personalities and people. One guy will rise to the top. Listen, you put 10 people in there that you think are leaders and great men, and you'll find out one of them is going to come to the top. And he will gain control. I don't care how good he started out. When you start giving people that kind of power and that kind of control, one guy will get on top. Okay? Now, God does not want you people, any of you, depending on persons, that includes Floyd Jones, other than Jesus, or an organization to get you through. That's cultish. And you can see the titles in different denominations are different, but it's all the same pyramid. Shall I put it this way? The kingdom of God, it's not like the kind of kingdom and government that you guys think about. To understand the kingdom of God best, I think it would be like this. A guy opens up a store and the sign says, Jones and Son. That's the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God is like. It's God and Son. Shall I put it this way? He is in management, we are in sales, and there is no room for promotion in sales in this organization. No room for promotion. Now, that hurts a lot of people's hearts. Because, boy, they had their minds so set on that position there, and then that one, working their way up to the top to get into management. What I'm trying to tell you is we've got a manager. And it's the only one we really need. Let me just say this to my Catholic brothers and sisters in here. You need to gird your loins. You're going to have to face, and Baptists, it's going to happen to everybody in here, but it's probably going to happen to the Catholics first. You're going to face a moment in your life, especially those of you that have an experience with the Holy Spirit, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you're going to get another pope, and he's going to say, all this charismatic jazz has got to go. You're coming back to the old system. And when that happens, you're going to all face the same test that the Hebrews faced in the book of Hebrews. Are you going to deny what you know to be true and go back to the old order or not? Are you going to go back and depend on the organization, or are you going to stick with Jesus? Now, gang, I am not a Protestant. I didn't protest. I've never protested against anybody or anything. So I am not a Protestant, and I am not a Catholic. Okay?